God's word, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus, the risen Christ. There comes a time in every child's life when he or she entertains two possibilities. One, my parents are from Mars. Number two, I must have been adopted. Usually these revelations occur in tandem, maybe after a huge fight with mom and or dad, or after a sibling beats us up or puts us down or does both. Suddenly, it dawns on us that there's absolutely no way that we could actually be biologically related to someone who is so completely opposite from us. Therefore, we must be adopted. Some of you remember when adoptions were a highly confidential process, indeed, even very secretive. And that made it a great source for childhood fantasies like, I must have been adopted. Closed adoptions were the norm from the 1920s through the 1960s. The birth mother did not know or and could not know who the adoptive parents were. The adoptive parents did not know who the birth mother was, and the adopted child didn't know anything unless their adoptive parents chose to tell them. And then in the 1970s, the legalities behind adoptions, they began to change. A massive shift toward what we now call open adoptions took place. In open adoptions, all the parties know who they are dealing with. And therefore, at least hypothetically, there is the possibility for communication at some time later. Interestingly, almost all ancient religions and almost all ancient cultures had legal means whereby orphaned or abandoned children could be legally incorporated into a new family. We see this reflected in today's lesson from Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome, where the Apostle Paul describes our baptism into Christ as an adoption. Both the law-loving environments of first century Judaism and the Roman Empire had a whole laundry list of adoption laws, policies, rights, regulations. Whether it was done for economic or political or emotional reasons, in the world of the Apostle Paul, where he lived, adoption was a well-known legislative procedure, and with it came specific rights, indeed privileges, and often wonderful benefits. So, when the Apostle Paul uses the language of adoption to describe the startling new relationship enjoyed by the followers of Jesus Christ, he's speaking to a congregation that knows what he's talking about. First century Romans and Jews knew what were the privileges, the perks that came with the status of being legally adopted, proclaiming Jesus' disciples to now be the true children of God, the children of the Father, and including them into God's great plan of salvation by virtue of a spirit of adoption. Oh, that had hardcore legal realities for Paul's audience. These adoptions were open adoptions because those being adopted and the one doing the adopting, the Heavenly Father, they both knew who they were. The adoptees definitely knew their own backgrounds. Whether Jews or Gentiles, they all had recognized their total inability to live up to the standards, the holiness, the demands of God's holy and perfect law. They all knew that their flesh, that is their self-centered, their self-serving natures, resulted in the reality that they were all living lives that fell far, far short of the glory of God, His righteousness, His holiness, His requirements. Paul's Roman Christians, this audience, they knew, therefore, that because of their flesh, their sinful nature, they were spiritually orphaned. But now, in Christ Jesus, they were being embraced into a whole new family of faith. Paul's news about their complete and their total adoption, about their transformation into becoming a genuine child of the Father, was truly good news, life-giving gospel. In Jesus, they had now, he says, become joint heirs with Christ himself. The Son of the Father was now their brother in Christ. Think of that. In Jesus, they had this reality as joint heirs, therefore sharing in the eternal inheritance of heaven itself, of all of the grace and love of God, infinite and overflowing, their sin totally forgiven, washed away, and receiving this new life filled with joy and the miracle of God's grace. If first century Christians could get it, why do we sometimes so struggle against this good news? Why is it that sometimes we pray to God as our Father, but so often we behave as if we were still abandoned, cast off, orphans? Charles Dickens' classic tale, Oliver Twist, tells the story of the exploited and abandoned orphan, Oliver. Famous in the story is the scene where Oliver makes his plaintive plea to his abusive taskmaster. "Please, sir, may I have some more?" The world, the sinful powers that Paul calls in today's text the flesh, they harshly say, "No. You are inferior. You are unacceptable. You are unredeemably bad. How dare you even ask? God could and never will love you. Go away." But Jesus says something totally different to our plaintive plea. Jesus says, "Yes. Yes, you are loved. You are forgiven. You are redeemed." Jesus spoke yes with his whole life, encouraging the weakest, healing the most sickly, inviting the outcasts, thieving tax collectors, sketchy, loose women, stinky fishermen, hated Romans, unclean lepers, all of them outcasts. And yet to every single one of these orphans who asks, "Please, sir, may I have some more?" Jesus speaks this word, "Yes. Ask for more. Yes, and keep asking, and I will keep giving." Everyone Jesus encountered, everyone Jesus spoke with, he treated like an orphan who needed more. We too are orphans. We approach the amazing new reality of God's forgiveness with absolutely no resources to earn or to deserve his plea for forgiveness. It is not by our merit. It is all by the power of the word of the Father, God's mighty word, his mighty claim upon us in the waters of baptism, where he adopts us as his own beloved children. It is all by God's grace, all by his mercy, and we have his word on it. So why? Even though God himself has already acted through the power of his word, through the power of the gift of his baptism to adopt us, do we still continue to behave as if we are still abandoned, cast off, orphaned? Why do we live lives still caught up in fear? Why do we live lives still feeling rejected, feeling that we'll never be good enough? It is because of our old sinful nature, that old stinking thinking. It is because of the lies of the devil, the father of lies. You see, you must understand, the very last thing that the devil wants is for you to live in the joy, to live in the love and the forgiveness and the victory, the new life, the rich inheritance that Christ has already won for you through the power of his cross and resurrection. Satan cannot undo what God has done, but he certainly wants to keep you from living in, from receiving, from rejoicing in your rich inheritance that is already yours. This is your rich inheritance in Christ Jesus. This is a glorious open adoption of the good news for all to know, for all to receive. You are the precious child of the Father, a child of the Heavenly Father, a child of the King. This is your unique inheritance in Christ Jesus. Yours is therefore an inexhaustible inheritance. The greatest gift, knowing that you are a child of God, offers the gift of knowing that you will never be abandoned, because he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. As a child of God, God has already spread his arms wide upon a cross to embrace you with his everlasting love. Through Jesus, God offers open adoption. He declares, I know who you are. I know what you've done. Oh, yes, I know you. And yes, still, I claim you. You are mine, and I am yours. Now, that's an open adoption. Through the power of the cross of Christ Jesus, all are welcome. All are offered the complete, full package of his acceptance, forgiveness, new life. All we who confess Jesus Christ and embrace his spirit of adoption, the spirit of the living Christ, we are filled with his new hope, new life, and yes, reborn children of the Heavenly Father. In the year 1858, the Swedish poet Carolina Sandell was on a boat trip with her father. In the midst of a conversation with him, a terrible accident happened. He fell overboard and drowned right before her eyes. She wrote these lyrics in her pain and grief at being an orphan. In a little bit, we'll sing them as our hymn of the day. But first, I want you to listen carefully to the lyrics and to give thanks that we are orphans no more, for we know who our parent is. Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in his bosom gather. Nestling bird nor star in heaven, such a refuge e'er was given. God his own doth tend and nourish. In his holy courts they flourish. From all evil things he spares them. In his mighty arms he bears them. Neither life nor death shall ever from the Lord his children sever. Unto them his grace he showeth, and their sorrow all he knoweth. Though he giveth or he taketh, God his children ne'er forsaketh. His the loving purpose solely to preserve them pure and holy. Amen.